We've been reporting all morning on WNYC about the clearing of the Occupy Wall Street protesters from Zuccotti Park. In Sunday's New York Times, Jeffrey Sachs, economist and director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University and author of The Price of Civilization, wrote an op-ed piece about the potential of the Occupy Wall Street movement, and he joins us now with his take on today's events and how they'll affect the movement. Welcome back to our show.
Leonard, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
So what was your reaction to the clearing of Zuccotti Park early this morning? Were you surprised?
This is very disappointing, very distressing indeed, and I hope that the clearing will be reversed. I hope the courts will uphold the First Amendment right to freedom of assembly, which is vital for this country, for our democracy, and precisely for being able to carry a message like Occupy Wall Street is carrying.
Well, there were a number of different Occupy Wall Street things were cleared today. It almost sounded to me like the mayors of some big cities all got together, or the police chiefs, and said, okay, today's the day.
I think that's quite possible. I was in Toronto yesterday, and there had been a decision to clear the park in Toronto yesterday, which apparently was not carried out in the end. But it does seem like quite a coincidence that all around the country and into Canada, the same day was chosen. So it may very well be what you say.
Well, some people don't see this as much of a real movement, but you wrote in your op-ed piece in the Sunday Times, Occupy Wall Street and its allied movements around the country are more than a walk in the park. They're most likely to the start of a new era in America. If there's no stated ideology, what is the new era going to be?
Well, there is a stated idea here, which is that the 99% want their democracy back from the super rich and the very powerful, who really have taken over the machinery of government during the last 30 years. Wall Street effectively has run the financial regulation. It has been part and parcel of many of the White Houses. It created a disaster in the world economy. We now know how many times the major Wall Street firms broke the law, in fact, and then acted with impunity, got taxpayer bailouts, and then demanded freedom of action after that, including to pay billions of dollars of bonuses out of our money. So there is definitely a strong message in the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is that we need a democracy, not a corporatocracy. And I think that this is a sentiment widely shared in America. This, of course, is a symbolic action of occupying parks across the country. I don't believe that by itself that's the transformation. But when I talk about a new progressive movement, I'm talking about something that in the course of a number of years will change the direction of the United States from the one that we've been on for 30 years since Ronald Reagan came to office. Because for 30 years, we've been catering to the rich, slashing the top tax rates, slashing support programs for the rest of society. We're still on that path right now, but I do think that it has to change, or else we're going to have a calamity in this country. In fact, I think many, many people would say we've already had that calamity.
An NBC Wall Street Journal poll released today found that the age group that expresses the strongest support for Occupy Wall Street isn't those under 35, but rather those 50 to 64. Are you surprised by that finding?
I haven't seen the poll. I would be, but I'm listening. I haven't seen the poll. I have found in my own experience, since I see lots of students and I'm on lots of campuses around the country, that there is a sense among America's young people, at least on the campuses, that we need a new direction in this country.
Well, the Journal concludes that the recession is having a real impact on the middle class, not just the fringes of American life, and that, quote, it seems to be arousing a high level of fear and anger among those who once consider themselves safe within the system. And I'm assuming that's one of the reasons that so many people between 50 and 64 have expressed support, but also they aren't those the people who grew up as the in the Vietnam War generation?
I think that the general feeling in this country is across generations that something's gone badly wrong in our politics, that Congress doesn't represent the American people, that President Obama campaigned on change but didn't bring about change, that the rich enjoy their wealth with the impunity of power and even license, often to break the law or to get away with it on the cheap, that taxes at the top are viewed as an option, not a requirement, and that the tax system is riddled with loopholes for corporations who keep their money in the Caymans and Bermuda and other tax havens. This is widespread, these feelings. That's why the disgust is so general. The problem is that neither political party is really giving an answer to this, because both political parties are responding to powerful corporate interests and wealthy campaign contributors, and that's why most Americans feel a sense of disenfranchisement right now.
Well, toward the end of your most recent book, The Price of Civilization, you write about the possibility of a third party emerging. But usually when we hear about a third party, it's in response to talk about the polarization of American politics, and the third party would be something in the middle.
Well, I think we have a right-wing party, which is the Republican Party. We have a center-right party, which is the Democratic Party. And we have no party in the middle all the way to the left. This is the odd part of our politics. We are not polarized between left and right. We have two political parties that basically subscribe to the dictates of powerful lobbies, whether those are Wall Street or the private health insurance industry, or big oil and big coal, or the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about half a century ago. Both political parties respond to these same forces, because these are the interest groups that lobby with about $4 billion of outlays each year, and that finance a high proportion of the $6 to $7 billion that will be spent in the federal election cycle in 2012, and politicians are responding to money. They're not responding to what the voters want.
Some are suggesting that the Occupy movement will be the Democratic equivalent of the Tea Party. Do you see that?
I think that this is not really so much a matter of party. This is a matter of nature of the political system. We have parties that are on the take. And I believe that the way out of this, of course, it's my hypothesis only, is a new generation of candidates who are going to campaign without large-scale campaign financing using the social media. And they're going to make it a point to say, I am not on the take. I'm not running with corporate money. I'm not running with bundlers. I'm not being bought out. I'm not selling myself out. I'm running on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the rest of the social media. And I think that this is really where the change is going to come, because the reason that these lobbies are so powerful is that the politicians believe that the only way to get to power is to have Wall Street finance your way, or to have big oil finance your way. And I think there is another way in this country, thanks to the new generation of social media and social networking. This, I believe, is really what's going to change our politics.
Well, Jeffrey, do you think that the Occupy Wall Streeters will need to change their tactics?
Yes. I mean, I think there's going to be lots of tactics, because if I look back to the progressive era with which I'm analogizing Occupy Wall Street, that was a 25-year movement. That was not a month in the park. There were lots of tactics. They involved social mobilization. They involved consumer activism, shareholder activism, political activism, winning office. And Occupy Wall Street has been around for 8 weeks. It's remarkable how it has changed the American discussion in 8 weeks. But it's only the very beginning, because this is a complex, noisy, large country. The powers that be are deeply entrenched. It's going to take a long time to change direction. This is just the beginning.
Although no politician seems to be lining up in support in the way that we have seen with the Tea Party. Jeffrey Sachs is an economist and director of the Earth Institute at Columbia, the author of The Price of Civilization, and you may have seen his op-ed piece about the potential of the Occupy Wall Street movement in last Sunday's New York Times. Thank you so much for being with us again.
pleasure. Thank you.